T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. We had a tiny little shred, a respite of football talk. I think it was one question with Peter
King. It was one. Yeah, Peter wanted to talk Red Sox. I can't blame him.
He was all in.
Can't blame him.
He brought up all in, too, by the way. That's
all in. I think it's already trademarked. Dale.
I hope Cody and the Young Bucks are getting a cut from this.
I don't think so.
We have to get all in T-shirts. They must be still available, aren't they, Rossi?
Got to be on sale. Are they going to do all in too, Rossi? Is that going to be on the next Rossi Wrestling report? And Rossi on Wrestling?
Quick Rossi Wrestling minute. Those guys might not be lasting in the indies much longer.
Young Bucks. They're going to WWE.
That's what it looks like.
No, really?
That's the rumor right now. It's all about money.
Rossi might have a rogue podcast coming, by the way, too.
A rogue
podcast? Well, not on WEEI, but at some point we may get a...
From a secret location?
Yeah, he had a very special guest. I heard rumors about this. A current member of the WWE roster, Rossi was talking
Superstar.
To. Yeah.
Rossi and I think, are going to be appearing at the same place on Sunday.
Oh, that's scary. That's scary.
We should get a cut. If we're going to be at the same place, same time, in the public.
So we listen to this wrestling podcast.
I know you guys.
Conrad Thompson and Bruce Pritchard. Yeah. And they're appearing live.
You're very excited
at Kowloon.
You're very excited.
I'm going. Yeah. I'm
Ross is excited.
I bought a ticket for the VIP session and everything.
Oh my goodness gracious!
I'm going to post a picture.
You should.
Conrad and Bruce.
That's very nice.
You're not as revved up as I thought.
No. Good for you guys.
Oh, okay.
That should be
He's
a lot of fun.
Jealous.
It's a nice
just jealous.
I am
He's
jealous.
Not
I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be around. I got a buddy's wedding this weekend, so. There's that.
Oh, so not even NFL Sunday conflict for you?
No, not an NFL Sunday. Buddy's wedding.
You know a lot of people getting married lately.
No, well, I had a dry spell. A few years ago, we had one of those like every week
things. It was just buddies getting divorced for several years.
No, only one of those guys. Everybody else is pretty good. I was going to say, it's like 50% success. We went to a lot of weddings. So I'm like, somebody's probably going to have to not be married soon.
Yeah, only one of my friends, but I've been to like probably 15 weddings in the last 3 years, and one of my buddies has gotten divorced.
Yeah, it's a pretty good track
record.
At the
stage of my life, I just wonder how many of my buddies are still alive.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, get to a certain point where
I'm going to weddings, Dale's going to funerals.
I just hope
they're
still with us, you know. He's still around.
Good for that guy.
Good news. I don't have to delete him off my Facebook friends list.
Yeah, what do you do there? No, you don't have to delete him. That's a little unnecessary.
They're not posting anything new.
No, that's true. You're still friends, aren't you?
Serious question. Do you keep them in your phone?
Oh, boy. Rossi, this is taking a turn. We're supposed to be celebrating the Red Sox win in Game 4.
No,
and you're
answer,
like, do you have dead people in your phone?
The answer is no. Now, I will say,
good God.
At the risk of taking it even more depressing, for a long time, I couldn't take my mom's name out of my phone. Even though it's not like I could call her anymore, but I couldn't
Holy
take her out.
Mackerel.
What
are we doing?
Well,
don't tell me you would listen to her last message over and over again, because I can't handle that right now.
No, I don't have that.
Oh, my God.
But nowadays with technology, you probably could.
Probably do. Probably even have a video. Probably have one of her vines when she did like a quick vine.
My mom doing vine.
Quick 6-second vine. Dale, we're all very proud of you here in Maine.
4'10", 85-pound mom from Bowdoin, Maine doing a vine.
We're all proud of you. We're all proud of you. And then the end of it. How do you send this? How does this go?
I promise
I
there
it.
Would be no R's anywhere in her,
her
vine.
I mean,
R's would disappear.
It's just a waste of time anyway. So that'd
well,
be that's a shame.
Heck? All right, let's get back to the calls.
Let's talk about baseball.
Okay, all right. I got the hint already.
Let's go.
617-779-7937. Doug's in Pennsylvania. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Sure.
Hey, I just wanted to mention a big break that the Red Sox caught last night with the inning where they had with the Astros should have had an easy double play to end the inning.
You're talking about the Correa play, like where he took it and he took it himself and then missed the bag?
Yeah, he didn't step on the bag, then he threw it to first.
Yeah, I don't know how easy that would have been, but I mean, you're right. He could have turned. He's a good defensive shortstop. Like, he probably should have turned two there, but he didn't.
I mean, that was a big inning regarding, you know, the Red Sox, you know, retaining the lead that inning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that should have been a big play right there for that.
Sure.
Doesn't it seem like this series, there have been a lot of just missed double play opportunities?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of, he's just safe at first base.
Yeah, absolutely there has been. Yeah, the defense at times, there's been the spectacular play, then there's also been some shaky plays. Like, you've seen a little bit of everything, and I guess that's to be expected. But, you know, some of the plays that Bregman and Correa can make, pretty impressive. Bregman more so in game three than in game four. But some of the barehanded plays he would make, they both have, like, rocket arms over there, too.
Yeah.
So even guys with good speed, it's a close play. Even if they hit it in the hole or hit it, you know, almost in the, you know, behind the bag at third, he's still making plays.
Joe's in Boston. Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Yo.
Hey. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, you sound great.
Okay. I was watching a game last night, and I definitely think that Betts' glove was closed by that fan.
Oh, this is Joe West.
Right. You got the call right, Joe.
Well, actually, during the replay, Betts, you could see him mouthing the words, "He closed my glove."
Yeah, and Joe, that may be true, but I don't know if I'd want to use that as the best case, because we've seen football players who have not caught a pass, but I caught the ball, and you're like, well, you didn't.
What's that?
I said we've seen examples of the other way. Like, football comes to mind where a guy wants his team to challenge. He's like, I caught the ball. And then you see the replay, and one hops into his arms. So just because a player thinks something happened doesn't, or they say it, doesn't mean it's true.
No, but I definitely think that I saw the interference. And the thing is, if Joe West made the great call for the Red Sox, because he said he called interference. Now, that goes to New York, and if they want to overturn it, it has to be you know, showing more evidence than that.
No, if he had not called interference,
not a home run.
But
if he called it,
they would have had to stay with that call.
Right. So let me ask you guys this: is Joe West a good umpire? Question mark.
Well, I'll say this:
he was good behind the plate
the other night,
and then he got that one right.
He was unbelievable.
All of a sudden, I always thought he wasn't good.
Maybe. I don't think he is.
Yeah. He's just on a hot streak right now? He's riding a heater?
He also was involved. What was the play? It was either ALCS or World Series. Joe West was involved in a play that got overturned that benefited the Red Sox.
Was it the A-Rod Bronson Arroyo play?
Might have been.
That might have been Country Joe. But yeah, he's had a couple.
I'm telling you, we got a GoFundMe thing. We'll get a statue put together.
Maybe out
of Lego, because we don't have a lot of money.
It's a lot of material you're going to need.
Well, Legos cost less than bronze.
I don't know if they do. Have you seen Legos recently? The price on Legos is insane.
Not since my kids grew up. No,
same with me. I would not. That's definitely then. I haven't looked at it in a while.
Oh, okay.
I have no interest in it.
Tim's on the cell phone. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. First time, long time.
Nice.
A two-part point for you that I want to get your take on the Mookie catch. I think the question isn't, you know, whether or not his glove was closed and if he was going to catch it, because obviously it was closed and obviously he was going to catch it. But on the post-game show last night on TV, Pedro and the guys put the rule up on fan interference, and they read through it. And their interpretation of it was, if Mookie reaches over the wall into the stand,
that is correct,
then he's fair game.
That is all correct, but I don't think he did.
Exactly. I think that's the question that we need to be talking about, not, you know, did he get his glove closed or not. It's, was he in the field of play? Did the fan reach over the wall into the field of play, or was he in the stands?
And they were almost unanimous. They all thought that Joe West got it wrong. Now,
yeah,
I think Joe West got it right. But
I agree. I think the replay show, he was pretty much in the field of play, and the fan reached over and closed his glove on the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I truly don't. We've seen so many replay angles of it, and I'll grant you, you know, the perfect camera angle would have been straight down the wall. I can't imagine why you'd have a camera looking straight down the wall. But we've seen enough other angles, and you can kind of piece things together. I tweeted out some photos that somebody sent me where they basically took the wall and put a yellow.
That's the best one, I think, that you see.
You can see it clearly.
Because it's really, it is really close. Like, this isn't Jeffrey Mayer, where you just, or Steve Bartman, where they're just, like, so clear that they just robbed the play because nobody caught it. It's not like a fan grabbed it. Like, they butchered it, too. And so you have four or five hands in there, and you have Mookie Betts. He goes up, obviously starts on the field side of the fence, but then sort of drifts into the crowd a little bit. But then you have some of the guys that are crossing the line as well. So it was definitely fan interference. I mean, that's the bottom line. Whether you thought he was going to catch it or not, either side of it, they ended up getting the call right. Again, I still go back to, if the fans just backed off, we would know for sure. We would actually see either an amazing catch, maybe a home run, or maybe it hits the glove and it goes back into the crowd or back into the field, and it's, you know, a double or whatever it ended up being. But it was the fans screwed that up, so they took away that play from everybody.
If you do happen to be on Twitter, and this is not a cheap plug for my Twitter site.
Is it Dale E. Arnold?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't do this. Somebody sent it to me, and I just put it back out there for everybody else to see. I see Jerry Thornton and others have reposted this as well, where it looks pretty clear. I mean, if you look at the tweet I put out and you look at that this person did all the work on, it seems pretty clear who broke the plane of the wall. And it wasn't Mookie Betts. It was the fans.
So they got the call right. Ultimately they did. But so then why they didn't throw these fans out is bizarre, because that's the call. That was the call on the field. They looked at replay. It was not overturned. And then they're like, all right, nothing to see here, fans. Like, no. Those guys interfered with the game. Like, they got to go.
Oh, somebody's helped me out here.
Oh, good.
Joe West called the interference play when Mark Bellhorn hit the home run. Supposedly, Joe West called A-Rod out at first.
So I knew it was the A-Rod one. Oh, yeah, Bellhorn.
And called Dave Roberts safe at second on the stolen base play.
Ooh, wow.
Now, he was clearly safe, by the way. But
Sox fan Joe West. Something to think about.
I'm telling you. Could be. That Lego statue's getting closer and closer because
I hope he has the World Series. I hope he's a part of it.
As long as Angel Hernandez doesn't.
Let's keep him away.
Yeah, that'd be okay. Ethan is in Boston. Hey, Ethan.
Hey, good to hear you guys today. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you.
No problem.
I think that I totally agree with you guys. I saw your Twitter thing. It's so clear that Mookie was still in the field of play. You know, I think they got the call right, and I wish you could convince Houston of that. All the Red Sox fans are convinced.
Yeah,
of that,
but I got to tell you, if the situations were reversed,
oh, we'd find a way.
I would absolutely believe that they got it wrong. If I was a Houston Astros fan, I would think that it was wrong.
Of course we would. But anyway, the reason why I called, I was thinking about third base. You know, everybody's been worried, and we haven't seen a lot of this, and I know we'd lose this. Lose Raffy's bat in the lineup, but geez, I'd like to see Brock Holt over there. And I also think that David Price is going to pitch his best game of the postseason tonight, because Chris Sale did not pitch yesterday. And in every game this year, when Price has not followed Sale, he's pitched his butt off. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ethan. What I would do, and because they have tweaked the lineup a lot of the games here, what I would do is I would start Devers for his bat. I'd start him at third base, and I would start Brock Holt at second. And then later in the game, if you have a lead, I would move Brock Holt to third and Ian Kinsler to second. That was their best defensive lineup. That's what they did at the end of last night's game. But I want Devers.
Somehow I don't think defense is going to be the deciding factor tonight.
No, it may not matter. But if you can just get any kind of offensive production against Verlander, which is as tall a task as there is,
yep,
I think you have a better chance with Devers in there.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
That, Gary, is where the discussion is. Was the fan reaching out in this play into the field of play, in your opinion?
No, he wasn't. It's the most egregious play I've ever seen in baseball. Because when you go in the stands, it's fair game. They can catch the ball. They're not going to just let the ball hit them in the chest. That ball was going right direct to his chest right there. When you see that ball there, you're going to put your hands up to catch it. Now his glove comes into play. Yeah, he could have caught the ball, but he might have missed the ball as well. So the ball is over the fence. How you go from hitting a home run, a ball being over the fence, the fan didn't reach over the fence, the ball hit him in the chest, and all of a sudden now you're out. If anything, you should be standing on second. But to be out in that situation, that's the worst thing.
Gary Sheffield is like lost.
Was that a filibuster? Now, I like Gary Sheffield's my favorite baseball player of all time. Not my favorite analyst of all time, however. I don't really know what he was doing there. So he's suggesting that's the worst call in the history of baseball?
Yeah, the most egregious call he's ever seen.
So the definition of egregious, Dale, is outstandingly bad, shocking. So that's the most shocking call he's ever seen in the history of baseball?
Now, trust me, we've seen much more shocking.
We have certainly seen worse calls. And again, I think they got the call right. It's unfortunate that we didn't get a chance to see either a great catch or a home run, or, you know, he bats it back into the field to play. We didn't get to see that because there was contact with fans. And whether you thought the fans closed the glove or if you thought just them being out there made him sort of change how he was going to catch the ball, whatever you think happened, it was influenced by the fans in the front row.
There's another photograph that's out there. In fact, Steph Stradley from Houston posted this photograph. And in this photograph, you can see clearly as the ball is hitting Mookie's glove, he is probably a foot and a half away from the wall. Now, he's reaching back, but his body is a good foot and a half. I think that's the confusing thing for people. Mm-hmm. They think he was up against the wall and reached back where his glove would clearly be in the stands. I'll spin this around for you to see. He is at least a foot and a half away from the wall.
I mean, it's very close, but you can also see basically the fans' elbows are kind of where the fence is, at least with the way I see it. And then, therefore, the whole forearm and hand is
right
in front of, it's like onto the field of play. Like it's obviously very close. That's why it's so impressive that Joe West got it right.
Well, the one guy there with the white shirt, he's actually leaning on the wall, and he's like propping himself up on the wall and reaching out.
So it's impossible to be behind the wall if you're already your momentum.
He's
already
leaning on the wall and reaching with his free hand over the wall.
Right. No, I mean they screwed that up. I mean that is a fan issue. That is them trying to get involved in the game. Now we don't have the names. Like, these guys haven't become overnight sensations like Bartman or Jeffrey Mayer. I think also because if this was like in the
we
ninth
know
inning,
this guy's name, by the way.
Oh, we
knew it last night. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So maybe I'm wrong about that.
There was a tweet out of Houston last night. They went and talked to the guy.
But these guys are lucky that this wasn't. If this was the bottom of the ninth, now it's a much, much bigger deal. It's a bigger story. We're learning everything about these guys. But because it happened earlier in the game, it happened within the first four innings of the game, there were so many other plays after that. So this certainly could have changed things, but this isn't the reason why the Astros lost. At least I don't think. There's too much game to go on. Just like if the Red Sox, if they had the call, if they got the, they didn't get the two extra runs the other night with the Tony Kemp catch in left field, that's not the reason. I mean, they ended up winning that game, but had they lost, I wouldn't have blamed that either.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Jeff's on the cell phone. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Pretty amazing stuff going on so far.
Yes.
I think we should have a bobblehead, Joe West bobblehead next year.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I'll get a Joe West bobblehead.
Maybe a little Red Sox cap or something.
Or bobble belly. Do one of those bobble belly nights.
Yeah.
He's fat.
Absolutely.
Sorry. Yeah, so go ahead.
That seemed a little too much metal.
Too much.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Jeff. That's my fault.
I was just going to say that I have a whole new level of respect for Jackie Bradley after watching him in this series. I've been watching all year, and his composure has been pretty impressive as far as not playing well, but he's just such an even-keel guy, right? It's just a professional. Like, he didn't seem like he let it get to him. And then I'd also have to say Alex Cora has to get a ton of credit because how easy it would have been for – you know, a lot of armchair quarterbacks would say, what are you playing this guy for? But, you know, he sticks with his guys, and look what he's doing. And it speaks to the depth of the team, too. So, you know, we're not relying on the same guys over and over again. Very impressive. I think it's been epic.
Well, yeah, I mean, and he's been good. He's come through with some big hits, obviously. Like, you know, he doesn't have a ton of hits in the series, but he's got the two home runs. You know, for a guy that had 13 home runs in the regular season, he has two home runs alone in the ALCS and 9 RBI. So he's making the most of it. And Dale, this isn't something that we need to get to today, but if they make the World Series, if they win one more game, make the World Series, as good as Bradley has been, you'd have to imagine he doesn't play in the National League games, or at least he doesn't start in the National League parks, because J.D. Martinez has to be out there.
No, he has to play.
So does Benintendi. So does Betts. I don't know if any of those guys you want to put at first base. So you lose the DH for those three games. So my guess would be Bradley would be a defensive replacement and come in later on. But they don't have to worry about that until they get there. But, yeah, he's been good. He's had a couple of clutch hits for sure.
617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. Couple of things. You guys are spot on with the interference call. You couldn't have explained it any better, and I agree 100% with you.
Good.
But that's not why I'm calling.
What do you got?
You know, we know there's some questions about what you're going to get when Sale comes in. We know there's some questions about what you're going to get with David Price.
Oh, yeah.
You know what we have no questions? We have no questions with Kimbrel. And I hate to say this, but you know what? I don't want to see him in another game the rest of this year. And the reason why, we know, here's what's going to happen, because we know, because we watch the movie. We keep watching it over and over and over again. He's going to come in. He's going to be wild. He's going to walk people. He may hit some people. He's definitely going to give up some runs. And you tell me who, what manager is going to continue to bring a guy in that they know is going to fail. It's not he might fail. He is absolutely going to fail.
Except he didn't fail last night.
Yes, he did fail, Gil.
Did you win?
No, I
understand, but my point is...
I mean, I understand what both of you guys are saying.
He didn't fail.
You know what's a wild stat? We've watched Craig Kimbrell. Like, if you've watched Kimbrell, you know how you feel about Craig Kimbrell. He has appeared in four games this postseason and has four saves. Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with Eddie. Like, he doesn't feel like it. He's given up at least a run in every game. So he's been fortunate that the save opportunities have been 2 and 3 run leads and not 1 run leads. Otherwise, he would have blown all of those games. So I don't trust him.
Can I just make another point?
Sure.
Here's what I'm saying. There's no reason to expect that he's going to come in and things are going to change. And that's why I think that Cora's made all these adjustments. Maybe you need to make one. And so maybe we need to go to a plan B when it comes to closer, because...
Yeah, now we're losing a little bit. But I just think...
Yeah,
let him go. I think that, you know, he's been consistent, though. Alex Cora has. Think about it. David Price has an even longer track record of not being able to get it done in the playoffs.
He's starting for you tonight.
He's starting for you tonight in a short rest, but he also started game two, even after the disaster in the Yankee series. So he's sticking with him. So he's not going to somebody else. Like, even though Brazier has pitched well, Matt Barnes has pitched pretty well, he's not going to mid-series make them the closer. Now, I also don't expect... I'd be shocked if you ever saw another 2-inning save from Kimbrell. I think that... I mean, you were really flying way too close to the sun for 6 outs of Craig Kimbrell. That's too much. But as they go forward, I think you're going to see more spots where, you know, Rick Porcello, who's already done it, Chris Sale's done it. Like, these starters, those guys in particular, maybe even Eovaldi, depending on rest, those guys might end up pitching eights and ninth,
all right,
ninth innings.
I got a creative possibility for you.
I love creativity.
Okay. Assuming that you win another game and get to go play in the World Series.
I feel good about that.
And yeah, you're playing in a National League ballpark.
Yes.
J.D. Martinez in left.
Uh-huh.
Andrew Benintendi in center.
Okay.
Jackie Bradley Jr. in right. Mookie Betts at second.
Oh, you son of a gun. Dale's getting ahead of this, because that is definitely going to be discussed. People are definitely going to talk about that.
I mean, wouldn't that solve...
If Jackie Bradley
Jr. continues to hit the way he's hitting,
Mookie Betts,
how do you sit him down?
Because Mookie Betts just took a home run away from Altuve, and he threw Tony Kemp out. He made two of the most important plays in right field that I would probably want to keep Betts either in right or in center. Because sometimes, you know, he can bump him to center and have...
But the only option of those outfielders for an infield position would be Mookie at second, which he's done this year.
Right, and it's not like Kinsler or Holt have said, hey, I have to play every day at second. That might be something they consider, but I mean, he's the best defensive right fielder in the game, and he's a very, very good center fielder if you have to play him there. They might kick it around, though. I mean, they might consider it.
I mean,
he played there once this year, right?
Didn't
they put him in?
Oh yeah, they moved him in, and he takes ground balls there from time to time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I mean,
that might be the way to get around.
I like it. That's outside the box.
I mean,
creative, Dale.
So you'd have to sit Kinsler. Oh no.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
You always said, I thought you were going to say something else.
Nope,
there for
shoot,
a minute. Oh,
shoot.
Good. Thank you.
Shoot. I'm not
Appreciate
Kevin Garnett.
That.
I said shoot.
Steven's in Chatham. Hey, Steven.
Steven.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Going back to the fan interference, I kind of feel like the stadium was constructed in a way such that the fans could have access to the playing field across the vertical line of that fence.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely close. Like, they're right. The seats are right there. But I don't know. You have to have some awareness as a fan. Like, you gotta let the ball come to you. And I don't think they really did that. So sure, the stadium doesn't help them, but I still blame the fans.
Sure.
I mean, there are some places, and I don't know. Is there any place where? I mean, I guess there are places like Chicago where, you know, the wall is so high it doesn't matter. You know, Fenway and left field, the wall is so high.
Fenway and left, but not Fenway and right. Fenway and right, I mean, you're standing
right
the same
there.
Height. You're not even that high. You're right there with them. So there's an opportunity for interference at Fenway and right field, but, you know, clearly not left or center. All right. Thank you, Steven.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you can ask guys to Sorry, you can't sell this first row seats.
No, sell them
best
there.
Seats of the ballpark.
No, I think what he meant was like the way it was built. Like maybe you just have it set back a little bit further. Because he's saying it's not like the fans had to run forward. Like they just stood up and they're already kind of hanging over the fence. But that's really the whole point out of all of it is that they were hanging over the fence. So right away, it's interference.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
I was just kind of going back, and I got a good jump on it. I was pretty positive I was going to be able to catch it. But as I jumped and went over, reached my hand up, I felt like somebody was kind of pushing my glove, out of the way or something. And, I got to see a little bit of the replay, and I guess they were going to catch the ball and push my glove out of the way. So I didn't know it was called an out. That's why I got it and threw it home. But I guess he got the call right.
So what they're seizing on down in Houston are the two words. Went over. So I went over. And they're saying what he's admitting is that his glove went over the wall. They're seizing on those two words.
Got it.
Now, I don't think that's what he's saying.
Well, no, I think they're getting caught
up in
it.
Let's listen to it one more time here. Yeah, I don't believe that's what he means, but you guys make your own decision here.
Just kind of going back. I got a good jump on it. I was pretty positive I was going to be able to catch it, but as I jumped and went over, reached my hand up, I felt like somebody was kind of pushing my glove, out of the way or something, and, I got to see a little bit of the replay, and I guess they were going to catch the ball and push my glove out of the way, so I didn't know it was called an out, so that's why I got it and threw it home, but...
Yeah, they're seizing on the went over.
As I jumped and went over...
Well, can both be true where he starts in the field of play and the fans obviously start in the stands and then they both kind of cross over like he went to make a play, but they already were reaching out to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I was a Houston fan, I'd be seizing on everything I could as well. I would be thinking that he was clearly, in the stands with his glove and that it wasn't fan interference.
Right.
I think all the same things they're thinking. I don't think Mookie was saying, I went over the wall.
No, I don't think so either. But they're, like you said, they're just going to latch onto it and hope they were right. He also said the fans moved his glove. So, I mean, that's a part of it, too.
Well, that part's clear.
Right, right.
I mean, they clearly moved his glove. Now, you don't think that they closed his glove. I do,
no.
But that's beside the point. They came
but
in
like
contact.
Ultimately,
yeah,
right,
they came in contact with his glove.
Oh, there's
As
no
I jumped
doubt.
And went over, reached my hand up. I felt like somebody was kind of pushing my glove.
There you go.
And somebody did push his glove.
And Joe West, of all people, got it right.
Joe West, right again. Just repeat after me, and sooner or later, we'll start to believe it. Bill's on the cell. Hey, Bill.
Bill, what's up? Huh?
Hi.
Hi,
how
Bill.
How you doing?
Hi. Good.
So, yeah, the previous call stole my thunder a little bit, but, it wasn't Joe West's fault. It wasn't Mookie Best's fault. It wasn't the fans' fault. My take is it's Major League Baseball's fault.
Ooh, there you
go. One,
Rob Manfred?
The rules shouldn't – the demarcation shouldn't be whether the player had to go into the stands with his glove to make the catch or not. The rule should be written that if fans are deemed to interfere with the catch, it should be an out. And the other thing is – I disagree wholeheartedly, Dale, when you were kind of poo-pooing the idea of taking that first row of seats. It's not necessarily taking the first row of seats away, but have you ever taken a close look at Progressive Field in Cleveland?
Yes.
They've got like a shelf there.
Actually,
I know what you mean.
A guy on Twitter tweeted us a picture of it. So, yeah, they have like a longer, wide shelf.
That's about one-thousandth of the budget of a major league team. If MLB said each park has to have a shelf like that wherever fans would have access, the row that they would lose could easily be placed somewhere else in the ballpark. Look what Fenway Park has done to add seats. So who would be moved? Not the front row of people who pay big money to have those season tickets, but the people who are way the heck up in right field. They take that last row out, move everybody back one, and those people way the heck up in right field or wherever it may be would be moved to another part of the stadium.
Yeah, you still can't reach over.
For the one play a year that
you still can't reach over. Come into it. Yeah, that's on the fans.
It happens. It's just crazy that Major League Baseball would allow fans to interfere with playable balls.
Well, the fans kind of, they're the ones that did it, though.
It's a little more difficult.
Right.
Because you're not going to move hundreds and hundreds of seats. But we're talking about a small amount of seats. It would never happen again, so we wouldn't have to deal with this. But the big thing here, too, is regardless of whether Mookie went into the stands or not, the right call was made. He had a beeline on the ball. It looked, for all intents and purposes, like he was going to catch it. As much as Tony Tarasco was going to catch that ball that that Jeffrey Meyer got in the way of. You've got to judge, was it a catchable ball? Did it look like he was going to catch the ball if the fan didn't interfere?
And particularly when you consider the defensive abilities of Mookie Betts, we've talked about this. He's a gold glove caliber right fielder. We've seen him make, you know, similar, if not even, you know, less impressive catches than, or more impressive catches than this one would have been. I absolutely think he had a great chance to.
But
make
if you're
catch.
In the front row there, you have to make him catch it. You can't interfere. Like, you just can't.
Right,
like, I don't care how the stadium is built. I don't care where the row
instinct.
Is.
I understand. I really do. The ball's coming at you, and you're not thinking about interfering. I mean, you see it happen all the time.
Yeah, I know. But I'm talking, you know,
no, fans. The ball down on the sideline. You know, it goes humming down the first baseline fair, and the fan leans over by the first base boxes and grabs it and then goes, oh, crap.
I know, but you got to be better. I'm not blaming Major League Baseball for that one.
No, and you know? Changing all of these facilities all across baseball for one play a year like this or two plays a year like
right.
this.
Yeah.
Rogers in Amherst. Hey, Roger.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Great.
Good. Great conversation.
Thank you.
Rich, I got this small problem with something that you said earlier. I was driving home and don't like to talk on the phone.
Okay.
You said the cards that Ben and Tindy and so forth put in their back pocket, they should outlaw those. Well, I also teach science.
Nice.
And one of the things that I realized that when you take a science test, you get to bring in your periodic table.
Is that right?
Yeah, you do.
Seems like a cheat sheet, no?
No one can remember valence levels and the amount of electrons running around. That's not the point. The point is, if you had coaches moving players after the next batter, it would actually elongate the game because you have to talk to the left fielder, the right center fielder, and the right fielder, and the coaches would put them in position.
So you think the manager standing up and pointing left, that would really slow the whole thing down? And I wasn't really talking about Benintendi. I just think that's lame that they have the cards. I was talking more about the catcher who, in between pitches, is taking the thing out and trying to get a read on it.
I heard
Maldonado was doing that. Like, what is he doing?
Jerry made this point this morning, and I think he's exactly right. If Andrew Benintendi is in left field and he takes a card out of his back pocket and looks at it and says, oh, yeah, they want me to move in 2 feet, he's not holding up the game.
No, you wouldn't even notice.
Right. But the catcher, who's literally looking at a card between pitches,
like,
he's holding up the game.
Yeah.
Now, if he looks at a card between batters, fine. Knock yourself out.
I still think
out.
It's stupid. I think you should study and learn it and know it. And you can still use your bench for help and everything else. I think it's kind of lame, but whatever. You're right. As long as it's not slowing down the game. But before he calls the pitch, a few times in the game, he's looking at his cheat sheet. Like, I think that's lame.
Yeah, I just, in between pitches, it shouldn't be allowed. In between hitters, I don't care.
Yeah, I guess whatever.
As it turns out, Andrew Benintendi said he looked at the card and moved a step and a half in because of what the card said. If he didn't move the step and a half in, he probably doesn't make the catch. Now, he probably plays it on a hop. They don't score three. I'm not saying the game is lost.
But I'm guessing Kimbrel doesn't bear down and get the next guy.
That
That's just my hunch.
Probably wouldn't feel good about that, would you?
No.
Steve's in Miami. Hey, Steve.
How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Doing great.
Fantastic. I have a few things, and my last thing will be about Lucy, okay? Okay, a couple of things. This reminds me of this interference, because I live down here, in a sense, about the interference in the 2003 National League Series with Steve Bartman and the Cubs and the Marlins.
Right.
With the
Moises Alou. Yes. That was brutal.
Yeah, Moises Alou, who really overreacted because that was actually in the stands and all that. So, but
yeah, I don't know.
Same thing in the sense that it resulted in
all right.
possible.
Yeah.
result if it doesn't happen. A couple of things more. One, did you notice how Steve Pierce falls over into the Cubs dugout? They don't even assist him until after he falls.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned that, Dale. He he did a swanton bomb
over
there.
I don't blame the Astro. The wall there.
No, I'm with you. I'm fine.
But meanwhile, Bogus checked to make sure that Kemp was okay when he was thrown out. Did you notice that? So, I don't know, just a little thing. And I agree, you don't try to catch him when he's going for the ball, but he had already missed the ball, so don't let him land on his head.
I can't believe he didn't get hurt.
I know.
That was wild.
Yeah. He was like Torrey Hunter in the bullpen for Boston. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah. And the other thing is, and then the last thing will be Lucy.
Oh, my God.
The pitching. Except for Kimbrel, basically, you know, everybody, all the Red Sox fans, of course, and media were worried about the Red Sox pitching. It's been Houston's pitching that actually has collapsed other than Verlander. So
Price, Sale, and Kimbrel have all been pretty shaky, but okay.
But I mean, Brazier, I mean.
All right, what's your point on Lucy, Steve? What were you going to say about Lucy?
Give her a show. She's wonderful.
Give her a show?
Oh.
I don't think it's really up
based
to us.
Based on my two-minute conversation with him.
Lucy, are you conducting your own talk show with the callers when you're in their screening?
Yes, we have breaks and we have rejoiners and everything.
So you're just really
Lucy's got music going in the background.
It's called Hi, W-E-E-I.
Hi, W-E-E-I. This is Lucy.
That's all she says over and over.
Hey, this is Lucy. What's your favorite color?
Apparently, she says it in a very friendly way.
Sure does.
Steve wants an entire show built on that.
A whole show of that.
He was very entertained by what he heard.
I guess so. He had a lot to get to there, too, but he wanted to make sure he got that Lucy point out there.
Well, no, he was actually still dancing. You actually pushed him to the Lucy point.
Do you
and
blame
I appreciate
me?
Okay. it. No. I wholeheartedly endorsed you getting to the to the bottom line here.
I was curious what that was.
Yeah, it was.
It's a ringing endorsement, though, for you, Lucy. Make sure you save that tape, Rossi.
KJ is in Providence. Hey, KJ.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Two things. One, I'm on my way back. I'm driving back up there from Las Vegas. I was out there for a couple weeks, and I went to the McGregor fight, and you wouldn't believe how many Sox fans were at the fight. It was awesome.
Nice.
And two, that was definitely a catch. Mookie was going to make that catch. His body was completely in the field of play. So I don't see where the big issue is. But the main reason I called was I wanted to get your guys' take on I read a couple articles this morning about – you know, the standard pitchers and they need all this rest and they need, you know, how many days and this and that. And I'm, you know, obviously pitchers need the rest they're on. Obviously, you know, they got to be, you know, ready to go when it's their turn to pitch. But I don't understand why they get treated like babies. This is one of the finest, you know, major league, you know, sporting organizations in the world with the best doctors, the best therapists, the best medicines. And I feel like these pitchers, like they were talking about Price, it's like, yeah, he's got 3 days rest. Yeah, he's got to go. He's got to pitch. Like, why do they treat these grown men in great physical shape like little babies?
Because all of those great doctors and great therapists and great trainers that you talked about say that's what you're supposed to do.
I think, I mean, this has been going on for a while. I think they're just so fragile. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that go into it, but I guess the main ones would be there's so much money invested into these guys. They're also throwing, like, overall, they throw so much harder, and there's more injuries. Like, guys, it's different. If you go back to, like, the 50s compared to now, how guys throw, there just seems to be more stress on the arms. There's more Tommy John surgeries. There's more shoulder problems, more elbow problems. And I think the other part of it is what you're seeing in the playoffs is middle relievers are better now than they used to be.
They're all throwing 100.
Yeah, so you're saying, all right, do we want to go with our starter who seems like he's scuffling a little bit, or let's bring in, you know, Joe Kelly. I don't know if that's the best example, but Joe Kelly's throwing 100 miles an hour compared to even 10 years ago. Let's bring in John Wasdin. Like, there's a big difference between middle relievers, setup men, and closers than there used to be.
Remember a number of years ago now, the whole thing, Nolan Ryan was basically going to, you know,
he
was going to stop babying pitchers. He was going to get them back when he was a man, you know,
right,
when he
was,
and then they said, you know what, that's not working at all.
I was going to say Charlie Morton went 2 1/3.
Yeah. So. We're not doing that. I mean, it's all well and good. And I do understand things have changed. You know, when Dick Raddatz used to throw 3-inning closing performances
or all the complete games,
that's not the way it is now.
No, it isn't. And it's also that's how every level does it now, too.
Well, like, I was going to say, if you want to know why you're babying David Price, because you're paying him $30 million a year.
That's a huge part of
You've got such a huge financial commitment
and then
here.
Because the flip side is, you say, well, if you're paying the guy $30 million,
he should go out there every day.
Yeah, but then you lose him with an injury. Like, they're fragile, and I don't know what it is. They're not all. Every once in a while, you're going to find a guy that makes 33 starts every single year. Like, you know, Bronson Arroyo was one of those guys that could throw 200 innings every single year. It's like he was just built differently than a lot of the other pitchers. But the guys, especially the guys that throw high 90s, 100, they're always at risk for blown out an elbow or a shoulder, it feels like, at any time.
617-779-7937. Jack's in Mashpee. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, Jack.
Listen, there's one thing that's pretty clear, and that is that it's not clear. It's not 100% whether the guy interfered or not the guy interfered, but whether Mookie crossed the line or not. So whenever it's not 100% sure that he crossed the line, you have to give the benefit of the doubt to the player. You can't give the benefit of the doubt to the fan being in the stands. If I'm Major League Baseball and I'm an umpire, I'm going to call that interference every time unless I can tell without any doubt that Mookie Betts crossed the line. And there's no way that anybody can tell whether he crossed the line or not. It's pretty obvious from all of the calls that you're getting and from the comments by individuals that are on TV that nobody can really tell.
Well, and you got to remember, too, Joe West is making the call real time, live, as it's happening, and he made the call immediately. Now, we've looked at pictures, we've looked at videos, we've had freeze frame, we've had different camera angles.
A million times, yeah.
And there are lots of people who still disagree about this with everything else that's happened. Now, I don't know if I like the idea of give the benefit of the doubt, too. How about get it right?
Yeah.
And Joe West, in his opinion, got it right. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm going to give Mookie the benefit here. I don't know about those fans back there. That's not what you do.
No, you can't do that. You can't side with the player every time, or you'd get some really screwy calls. You know, anytime they go near the stands, they'd get a call.
Now, we in Boston think that Mookie was not in the stands with his glove. In Houston, they think he clearly was in the stands with his glove.
Right. That's just how it is.
And we're all looking at the same pictures.
And if the roles were reversed,
videos, and we think that one thing, they think another thing.
Well, and a lot of the same fans would be arguing the other way. Like, if the roles were reversed. If Betts hit it and it was, you know, George Springer out in the outfield or whoever, like, you'd be saying the same thing.
617-779-7937. I understand that Sports Talk Radio in Houston has a beef with me.
You?
Me.
Oh, my goodness. What on earth?
We're going to tune into it coming up in just a couple of minutes. Sports Radio, WEEI. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.